I ask that you would turn in God's holy word to Exodus chapter 20 as we continue working our way through the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. This morning we'll be looking at verses 8 through 11. In the Lord's providence, we will be looking at the fourth commandment, when do we worship, otherwise known as the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20. Verses 8 through 11. People of God, this is the word of the living God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let us pray. Lord God, it is good that we study this commandment in particular on this day. We thank you for your good providence. Lord, I ask that you would help me to handle this text rightly, that we would see the importance of the Sabbath. Lord, that we would recover a high view of the Sabbath, which has fallen into neglect and ignorance by and large this day. Lord, please send your Spirit upon me and empower me. And I ask that your Spirit would descend upon your people to open our eyes, to open our ears, that we may receive your word with joy and with gladness as food for our souls. Through Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. In 2015, a movie came out called Concussion, about football players and the doctor who discovered the brain damage that was caused by repeated hits, that was causing older football players to lose their physical capabilities as well as to go insane, to drive them crazy. And in the movie, one character brags by saying this, quote, "The National Football League owns a day of the week, the same day the church used to own, now it's theirs," end quote. For millions of Americans, today is not the Lord's Day, rather it is Super Bowl Sunday. Perhaps some of you out there watching online or sitting here in the sanctuary are thinking, I can't wait until 6:30 p.m. gets here. Our eyes are drawn to the things of this world, and this is the high and holy day for those who worship sports. And they have their table sacraments with their tailgating food. And they have their holy rituals of wearing their lucky shirts or socks, painting their face, painting their bodies to cheer on their team. Football is, for many, a religion. Today we come to the fourth commandment on the Sabbath, and when do we worship? Now, in our circles, in the Reformed and Presbyterian world, whenever this commandment comes up, we always ask the question along the lines of, what can I do and what can I not do on the Sabbath? Is fill in the blank permissible to do on the Sabbath? Well, I'm not necessarily going to answer that question this day, at least not in this sermon. You'll have to come back to hear that. But before we can get to such questions of what is and is not permissible on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, we need to know what this commandment means. And so today we're going to look at the what, the how, and the why surrounding the fourth commandment. What is the fourth commandment? How do we observe the fourth commandment? And why should we observe the fourth commandment? What is our motivation in observing the fourth commandment? So first, what is the fourth commandment? And we see this in verse 8. Verse 8 says, or commands us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's actually two commands in this verse. It divides into two parts. First, we are to remember something. That's the first command. Remember. Remember. Of course, the implication of that is we are prone to forget, right? This is the only commandment that begins with the word remember. It's easy for us to remember that we're to worship and serve God and Him alone, that we are to revere Him, that we're not to kill people, that we're not to commit adultery. But we're prone to forget the Sabbath. So the Lord God tells us to remember. Now, this word remember is not simply a mental word. Yes, we are to remember the Sabbath day. But this word is also a call to action. All throughout the Old Testament, the people of God are called to remember what God has done. And as you remember what God has done for you, you are motivated to act. Because God has done this for you, you are motivated to worship Him. You are motivated to imitate Him. How He has treated you, you are to go and likewise treat others. This word remember has an ethical component to it. It's not just simply a mental action. It is that, but it's also a call to action, to worship, to rejoice in the Lord, to love your neighbor as yourself, which is the psalm of the second table, to love the Lord your God with all that you are, which is the psalm of the first table of the Ten Commandments. The second part of the commandment, the second commandment, is to keep the Sabbath day holy. That is, to keep it set apart, to consecrate the day. It's to be a day unlike any other day. Now, there are many reasons that we are prone to forget the Sabbath day. One, our sinfulness causes us to forget the Sabbath. Our sinfulness causes us to forget the Sabbath. Let me just read you one example. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26, God charges His priests with doing violence to His laws and profaning His holy things. And one thing He says that His priests have done is this, quote, "They have disregarded My Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them." They have disregarded My Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. As an aside, I want you to notice that profaning the Sabbath is a profaning of God and a profaning of His name, and therefore to violate the fourth commandment is also to violate the third commandment. There's overlap between the commandments. The word for disregard that appears there in Ezekiel 22 means literally they've hidden their eyes from My Sabbath. They don't look at it, they don't think about it, they pay no attention to it. It's just a day like any others. And He charges His priests with disregarding His Sabbaths. They were the ones who were to guard God's holiness and the holiness of the Sabbath themselves, and then to teach it to the people of God so that they could observe the Sabbath and guard God's holiness. And yet what they are doing is they are giving it no thought. Our sinfulness wars within us and wants to keep us from sanctifying and consecrating the Sabbath day as holy to the Lord. And therefore, we have to fight to remember it. Another reason we are prone to forget the Sabbath is because of the ungodly world. The ungodly world, with Satan standing behind it, wars against us to keep us from observing the Sabbath. So our own sin, our own indwelling sin, and then the sinful world, pricked and prompted and motivated by Satan, causes us to forget the Sabbath. The Westminster Larger Catechism puts it this way, quote, "Satan with his instruments," and that would be the ungodly world, "Satan with his instruments labors much to blot out the glory and even the memory of the Sabbath, to bring in all irreligion and impiety." Satan with his instruments labors much to blot out the glory and even the memory of the Sabbath, to bring in all irreligion and impiety. In other words, Satan wants to keep you and me busy and distracted from the Sabbath by having our attention focused on worldly things, even good things that God has given to us. Jeremiah 17 says the Israelites did not heed the Sabbath, but instead they went about their normal daily business. It was just another day of business as usual for them. That was before the exile. After the exile, Nehemiah sees the same thing happening. In Nehemiah 13, the Israelites are doing their normal work on the Sabbath. They're conducting their normal business and trade, financial transactions, doing their occupation. Satan wants to keep us busy and distracted in our thoughts and our actions on the Sabbath so that our thoughts and actions are taken off of the Lord, the proper aim and object for the Sabbath day. Take our thoughts and actions off the Lord and the day that He has set apart, that He claims as His own. So our sin, the ungodly world with Satan standing behind it. And then the third reason we are prone to forget the Sabbath is that, unlike the other commandments, this commandment happens at an interval rather than every day. Think about it. Murder, idolatry, adultery, theft, those are forbidden every day, right? This commandment sets aside one day of the week, but there are 6 days that come in between. So there's a gap between being able to properly observe this commandment. And in those 6 days, we encounter a lot, do we not? Those 6 days are filled up with work considerations, family considerations, pleasure, rest, recreations, hardships, trials, and enjoyments. And so in the course of those 6 days, we can allow the thoughts of the upcoming Sabbath to get buried under everything that piles up upon us in the course of those 6 days. And so that is another reason why we are prone to remember, we're prone to forget the Sabbath day. Our own sin, Satan, and the ungodly world, and the nature of the commandment itself all work together to make us forget the day or make us not consecrate the day to set it apart. So that is the commandment itself, which brings us to the question, how do we keep this commandment? Look at verses 9 and 10. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. The first way we keep this commandment is by working over the course of 6 days. That's where God begins. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Work is a good thing. God created and established man to work at the beginning of creation before there was any sin or death in the world. Genesis 2:5 says that there was no man to work the ground. And so what does God do? He creates man to work the ground. Places him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep and tend to the garden according to Genesis 2:15. We are supposed to work. We are created to work, and so God blesses us by giving us 6 days to fulfill our creation purpose of working. But we were also created to worship and serve God. That's the second way we keep this commandment. The Hebrew word for work is often translated in our English translation, service. And it's often used in religious contexts that talk about worshiping God. In fact, this word for work is used up in the second commandment. Up in the second commandment, you will not bow down to them or serve them. That is, work for them. It's the same word that's used here in the fourth commandment, for work. We serve God. We do spiritual work, spiritual service by worshiping God. It is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Look at verse 10. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. The day is directed towards Yahweh, our Elohim. It means we give the entirety of this day over to the Lord. Notice it's called the seventh day. Not the Sabbath couple of hours. Not the seventh couple of hours, few hours. It's the same word used in Genesis 1, which means a literal 24-hour period. It's the same word used in this verse to talk about 6 days. 6 literal days of work, 1 literal day of rest and worship. It's an entire day where we are to cease from our normal weekly activities and give the entire day over to the Lord and His things. It's a mistake to think that we can spend a few hours on a Sunday morning in Sunday school and corporate worship, and that therefore we can go treat the rest of the day like it's any other part of the day. That somehow we keep the fulfilling of this commandment simply by keeping it in the morning. And the rest of the afternoon and the evening is filled with whatever we want to fill it with. Think about it. Could you get away with that in your 6 days of work? You show up to the office or the job site on Monday morning. You work for 2 or 3 hours, and then you tell your boss, okay, I'm done. I've worked the day. Now I'm going to go home. I don't think many of our bosses would like that, do you? And yet, that's what we do with the Lord God. Okay, God, I've given you my 2 or 3 hours. I'm done. Back to the normal affairs and things of this life. Yes, we gather for corporate worship, but we also worship at home as private individuals and as families. We can fill the day with reflecting on the sermon, meditating on it, letting God's word dwell in our hearts and minds for the entirety of the rest of the day, singing hymns and psalms, praying with and for others. When was the last time you called somebody on a Sunday afternoon? Hey, how are you doing? Can I pray for you? What are you struggling with? Whole day committed to the Lord with a ceasing from normal activities to give wholehearted focus on spiritual activities. The third way we keep this commandment is by physical rest. We work 6 days, we worship and serve God, and we physically rest. Verse 10 says, on the Sabbath you shall not do any work, physical work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. It's not a day for business as usual. As Philip Ryken, president of Wheaton College and former pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia puts it, it's a day for relaxation and recuperation. A day to step back from life's ordinary routines in order to rediscover God's goodness and grace, end quote. The noun used here for work is used throughout Scripture to refer to skilled work, craftsmanship, labor with your hands that one does for one's occupation or one's business or one's trade, whatever a person does to earn their living. It's used in Exodus 35 through 38 to refer to the construction of the tabernacle. It's later used in 1 Kings 5 through 7 to refer to Solomon's construction of the temple. It's described as work. It's used in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 to refer to stonecutters, masons, carpenters, and other kinds of skilled labor. It's used in 1 Chronicles 27 to refer to tilling the fields. It's used in Jeremiah 18 to refer to the making of pottery. In Jeremiah 17, it's used to refer to carrying something on your back, to building a fire, conducting business, loading burdens upon a donkey, treading the grapes in the wine press. These are the types of activities that God's people, an agrarian society, farmers and shepherds and herders, that they normally did throughout the week, but from which they were to cease and rest on the Sabbath. So God in this commandment says that He's going to give us 6 days to do our physical work, but He demands one of our days to stop our physical work so we may attend to the needs of spiritual work, so that we may deal with our soul. As the Puritans called the Sabbath, it's the market's day of the soul. We leave the physical markets, the buying and the selling, to deal with the Lord God and conduct spiritual transactions. The word Sabbath actually means to stop or to rest in the sense of ceasing. We are to rest from our physical labors. We're to stop our physical labors in order to focus on our spiritual labors. Just as God demands a portion of our money or resources, so God demands a portion of our time. In fact, when you think about it, God demands more of our time than he does our money. He wants a seventh of our time, 14%. But the tithe was only a tenth, 10%. The 19th century Presbyterian pastor and theologian William Plummer actually did some math on this. He writes, quote, "If a man lives 21 years, this law claims the entire control of three of them. If he lives 50 years, it disposes of more than seven of them. It is therefore important," end quote. And we could extend the math out. If you live to be 84 years old, then that means you will have spent, if we properly observe this commandment, you will have spent 12 years of your earthly life stopping from your physical labors and worshiping and serving God, beyond what you do in bringing glory to him through the rest of the week. If you live to be 70, that's 10 years of your life that God claims for himself. God demands that we consecrate time for him, because if he did not, we would never make time for him. Because of our sinful hearts in the ungodly world, we would always be drawn to working more. Because as you and I know, the work never ceases, right? The work never ceases. It's always there. And so we would always be trying to get the work done, to stay on top and in control of our work. But God says, no. Trust me. This is a day of blessing. It says God blessed the Sabbath day. This is a day of God's grace where he frees you and me up. We don't have to think about what's coming Monday. We don't have to think about all that lays before us for the rest of the week, all that we've got to teach our children for this upcoming week in school, all that we've got to get done, all of these meetings. We don't have to think about that. That's a big relief, is it not? That's a weight off our mind. I'm going to focus on the things of the Lord. He blesses us. He blesses you and me by building a weekly day off from work into our lives and into our calendars. And you especially think about the Israelites. As I've already mentioned, they were an agrarian society. They were shepherds and farmers and herders. Their work required that they attend to it daily, did it not? They basically lived off of what they did for that day. And so to take a day off as a farmer, as a shepherd, you mean I can't go out there and protect my flock from the lions and the bears and the wolves? It's a day that calls us to trust in God. Kevin DeYoung sums up the how question well when he writes this, quote, "We rest so that we might be free to worship God, and we give God worship in part by trusting him enough to rest." Trusting him enough to rest. This commandment creates a weekly rhythm like a regular heartbeat of 6 days of work and one day of restful worship. Before we move to the last question of why, what's our motivation, notice that this commandment is specifically directed to those who are in charge, to those who are in authority over a household. On it, you shall not do any work, verse 10. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. The head of the house is to rest from his labors, but also all of those under his care are to cease from their labors. No children are to work. No servants are to work. No animals are to work, either in the fields tilling up soil or grinding the grain at the mill or crushing the oil at the press. Even the traveler, one who is passing through, perhaps a guest staying in your own home, is to cease from his work on the Sabbath. The head of the household was to ensure that not only he himself pay heed to observe this commandment, you shall not do any work, but he was also to make sure that all those under his care, under his authority, observed this commandment as well. And it's not only directed to the head of the household, but this also extends to the elders of the city. Notice the commandment refers to the sojourner within your gates. Now, houses typically did not have gates. It was the city or the town that had gates. So the elders, as those in judicial authority over a town, was also to not only observe this commandment for themselves, but to make sure that the entire town was observing the commandment, all of those who were under their care and authority. The Westminster Larger Catechism explains that this commandment is directed at those in authority termed superiors, because superiors, quote, are prone often to hinder all under their charge by employments of their own, end quote. In other words, there's two ways that a head of household can violate this additional responsibility that the Lord places upon them. The head of the household, the elder of the city, could sin by not observing this commandment himself, thereby setting a bad example and encouraging others to break this commandment. Or the head of household could require those under him to work and break this commandment so that he could enjoy his own rest. So there's an additional how to this commandment for those who find themselves in positions of authority, which, by the way, is what the fifth commandment addresses. So again, we see overlap with the third commandment, and we see overlap with the fifth commandment. This means for our modern world, there's an additional responsibility laid at the feet of business owners to ensure their employees have a Sunday off, that fathers or whoever the head of the household is ensure those living under their roof rest and worship on Sunday, that elders ensure that church members are resting from their work and engaging the Lord on his day in corporate and private worship. Those in authority are given an additional responsibility in how they are to help this commandment properly to be observed. So those of us under authority, we observe it by resting, working 6 days, resting one day, worshiping and serving God. But those who are in authority have an additional responsibility for how this commandment is to be properly kept. It's to make sure that all those that God has sovereignly and providentially placed under your care also observe this commandment. This leads to our final question, which is the why question. Why are we to sanctify the Sabbath day? What is our motivation for doing so? Look at verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Sabbath day is sanctified and set apart because God sanctified it and set it apart at creation. God labored for 6 days as creator, and he ceased from his works of creation on the seventh day. Now, that does not mean that God takes every Sunday off from being God. God does not cease being sovereign and providential over all that happens in creation. God does not need rest. But he made everything in the span of 6 days. That's all it took him to make everything that is. And he rested. And by resting, he blessed it and consecrated it for himself. And so we are to bless and sanctify the Sabbath day because God blessed and sanctified the Sabbath day. We are to do what God himself has done. So when we rightly observe the Sabbath day, we are imitating our God who created us as well as all things. Notice that the Sabbath exists before the fall and the entrance of sin and death into the world. If Adam and Eve had perfectly obeyed God, there was still going to be a day of rest from their labors so that they could worship God in paradise. And we see this Sabbath based on creation continues even after the fall and before the giving of law at Sinai. The Sabbath as a creation ordinance existed after the fall. It continues. And we see an example of it before Exodus chapter 20, where God gives his law at Sinai. In Exodus chapter 16, when the Lord sent the Israelites manna from heaven, he commanded them to gather twice as much on the sixth day, because the Lord was not going to send any bread. He wasn't going to send any what is it on the seventh day. So you do extra the day before the Sabbath in order to prepare the Sabbath. Exodus 16:26 says, 6 days you shall gather the manna, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. If you read that story, some people didn't believe the Lord. They didn't gather extra on the sixth day. They went out to look for it on the seventh day, the Sabbath, and there was no manna. And so they had no food to eat that day because they disregarded the Lord's Sabbath. The Lord calls the seventh day in the Old Testament the Sabbath day, even after the fall and before the revelation of his moral law. The Sabbath is still rooted in creation, and it continues. Just as marriage and work, other creation ordinances, they continue after the fall. Yes, they've been affected by the fall, but they continue as God's creation ordinances. And so the Sabbath continues as well, even though it has been affected by sin. The fall did not do away with the Sabbath. Now, if we compare this commandment here in Exodus chapter 20 with the fourth commandment as it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we find a different but complementary reason why we are to sanctify the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy 5:15, you can write that down, mark it, but I'll read it for you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. In the book of Exodus, the fourth commandment is rooted in creation. In Deuteronomy, the fourth commandment is rooted in redemption. The great redemptive event of the Exodus, that great deliverance from the land of slavery, the house of bondage, is our motivation for taking time away from our normal works to devote a day of worship to God. The Sabbath is rooted in both creation and redemption. And there's no contradiction between these two things. In fact, if you think about it, redemption is simply creation on a spiritual level. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Behold, if anyone is in Christ, he is a," what? "New creation." A new creation. Redemption. Salvation is a new creation. Redemption is a new creation, except instead of it being physical creation, like in Genesis 1, it's a new spiritual creation. So we gather as the people of God, not only because he created us physically and breathed the breath of life into us, but also for recreating us through his grace and mercy poured out upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sabbath day is our response, not only to our Maker and Owner, but to our Savior and Redeemer. An interesting thing about the Sabbath is found in Exodus chapter 31. Two times in that chapter, the Sabbath day is called an eternal sign of the covenant. Covenants had signs. You have the rainbow with the covenants with Noah. You have circumcision with the covenants with Abraham. And you have the Sabbath day for the covenant with Moses. When the people of God honor and observe the Sabbath day, they, in the words of Douglas Stewart, quote, "demonstrate openly that they are keeping the covenant," end quote. The covenant people of God keep the sign of the covenant by observing the Sabbath day. The implication of that is profound, is it not? To not observe the Sabbath is to demonstrate openly that one is not keeping the covenant. To not observe the Sabbath means you are publicly declaring that you are a covenant breaker. This is why Hebrews 10:25 exhorts us not to neglect the meeting or the assembling of ourselves together. A person who claims to be a Christian and yet also claims not to be a part of any church and never gathers with God's people to rest and worship is making a false profession. They are in covenant's rebellion. And as we will see next week, this is why the Lord takes the Sabbath so seriously. Peter Masters writes this, quote, "Nothing could be more reasonable than that God should receive from rational, intelligent beings some small corner of their time, and that they should inquire after him and feel indebted to him. The first commandment tells us who we worship. The second commandment tells us how we worship. The third commandment tells us to treat God reverently from the heart. The fourth commandment tells us when to worship." Philip Ryken again writes, quote, "We are prone to forget the great work of God in creation and redemption. And when we forget, we fail to praise him for making us and saving us. But the fourth commandment is a reminder." I love the way he puts it. It is God's memorandum. It is God's memo to his people, reminding us to give him glory for his grace. The Sabbath day is God's memo to his people, reminding us to give him glory for his grace. All other time is secular, but the Sabbath day is holy. All other days can be filled with the things of this life, which will perish, and even now is already vanishing. But the Sabbath day is to be filled with the things of the life to come, which is eternal. So let me challenge you this evening. You could spend 3 hours watching the Super Bowl, and out of those 3 hours will be gone, never to happen again, never to be repeated. Or you could spend those 3 hours investing in eternal things, working towards memorizing a Bible verse, hiding God's word in your heart, teaching your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, calling somebody to pray for them, spending time on your knees in intercession, praying for our church, that God would grow our church, praying for your pastor, that God would strengthen him, praying for the church in general, praying that God would send revival. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen.